This is a little bit different as we're not here at a missions conference giving a report, but we're here coming through here for the board meeting. And I try to get to some of the different churches that are represented on that board, try to get to know their church facility, their congregation, their pastor and stuff. But this time we said, oh, let's go to our home church. We actually know those folks and we'll share just a few things. First, a couple of personal things. This next year, we're actually going on our sabbatical September, October, November, so it'll be the second sabbatical that we have been on. Still figuring out all the details, but that is coming up. Cindy's had a couple of health things that she's been working through. One of them was the teeth that you guys have given to. She's got three more to get worked on. In order to save money, we're in one of those dental school things, you know, that you go, and so when we went, they said, well, before this all works, we have to make sure that you have a learning mouth, that means they opened up, oh, there's problems. And so when Cindy got done with her first appointment, they're like, oh, yeah, you have a learning mouth. So we are thankful for this church giving to that and are almost done with that. She has a little thing with her nerve on her neck. It moves her neck away. So if she's talking to you and it looks like she's trying to do this, she's not saying no. But it's been a unique thing that we've been working through and also dealing with some of the COVID and the loss of taste and smell. She hasn't lost those things. They just taste and smell bad. It would be better if they didn't have it at all. But she calls that God's diet and has to work through all of that fun stuff. So besides that, she's still putting up with me. So I am thankful for that and happy to be living our adventure together. I just want to, this is my sweatshirt that I just got like a week ago. I've worn it a couple of days. God is good all the time. I'll tell you more later. A few things about camp. There are just amazing things that are taking place all over the place. So first of all, Peniel, this is such an exciting time for Peniel. We just a year ago would have voted in terms of direction and major, like what the next 20 years would look like, not only facility-wise, but you step back and say, mission-wise, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to do? And then once you figure that out, then you decide on facility. After that, there's usually a whole bunch of foundational behind the scenes. It's like if any of you have built a home or if you've been part of like a building construction things, there's like the decision to do it and then nothing happens for a long time. It's all these behind the scene things take place. And then at some point a foundation is put on and people are still like, I don't really know what that's going to be. And it's not until like they're putting up walls that somebody says, oh, they're finally doing something. Well, no, they've been doing a bunch of things behind the scenes to get ready for what that build-out is. We're really, in the next year or two, just right in that spot where a lot of things will be taking place. And some of them are such big things behind the scenes, not even the campers will see it. So like 8,000 square feet of building just for staff housing is in the process. The behind-the-scenes work on all of the details that deal with legal and office and budgets and all of that kind of stuff are happening there. And then things like constitution, doctrinal statements, things that you work on along the way. This meeting is just a massive meeting. So I look at the agenda and I'm, we've got a lot of work to do. And I'm just so thankful to serve with a group of guys. I serve on 7 different boards that are camp related, that are part of family of camps or camp related in one way or another, and so that keeps us busy as we travel around to some of those things and also helping camps in that area. It has been a time at Ironwood where I really thought this summer would be a little bit relaxing. Like we had said no to all of our extra travel trips and I was like, I think this could be a boring summer. And we were hoping for a boring summer. And in March, 77 acres acres opened up near our camp, 7 plots. They had rezoned part of our camp area so that we couldn't, it was all desert conservation, which meant on 160 acres, you could build one home, and that's all you get. And so we were in a spot where all of our camps had gotten really big, and we needed more staff, and we've gone about 3 years at just total full capacity. Right now, if a group wanted to sign up at Ironwood, the only weekend available is the Mother's Day weekend. That's the only weekend available for the whole year in 2026, and it's just been a crazy time for that. And so we're trying to build homes. That 77 acres became available. God provided all the money. It was an amazing thing. In the midst of that, we also have our barn. We moved all of our horses out of the barn area, and that barn area, the funding is about half in for making that the largest meeting room on the property. And somewhere around July 2nd, we heard about a camp up in the Sequoia National Forest that might be available. And we're like, no, not interested at all, until we saw the video. And once we saw the video, we realized, no, this is in the middle of the Sequoia National Forest, 1.1 million acres, and it's 22 acres in the middle of that, 7,000 feet high, 20,000 square feet of building, 19 buildings on the property. This is a picture here of the of where it's at. So you can see those little buildings right over there on the side. Those buildings, the top of that roof line is 30 feet tall. Those trees are 160, 170 feet tall. When you're looking at how big this is in giant Sequoia country. King David was just a walk away from that camp, burned in the fire of 2020. A fire came all around it. So this camp was built by the Quakers starting in 1939, and then so they built a bunch of different buildings in that area, and then here in 2020 they closed down to COVID, 2021 the fire, 2022 another fire, in 2023 the norovirus that knocked them out of 5 weeks of camp, and they had to touch stop. In 2024 they ran camp. And in 2025, they lost their funding for some of their scholarship camps. And they just closed everything. They closed it down in 2024, but never opened it in 2025. And so as I flip through just a couple of pictures here, this is the road that goes into it. This is a map here of the buildings that are there. It's got a lake, it's got a zip line, it's got an indoor climbing wall, it's got a chapel that's not finished, but this was built in 1956, and just a really fun building to work with, but they have no more money, weren't able to do that. They've got a big kind of a room upstairs that is a game room, meeting room, so it's got those big trusses in there, wraparound porch that's there, so there's a game area up on top, there's a dining room up on bottom, and the kitchen there, so there's a picture of the dining room that is in the place. And everything that you're looking at, they just left it that way. Like in the kitchen and stuff, I mean, the dishwasher is a good dishwasher. And we were just amazed. Like in this picture, it's not the fact that there's a mixer, but there's all those pans in the back. Everything was there. So every shovel, every rake, every detail, like people would say, well, what's in that room? I'd be like, I don't know. It's ours, but I don't know what's there. And so in the course of 32 days, God gave us Sequoia Meadow Christian Camp. And so we are in the process of getting everything ready to go. It is a stunning thing to see happen, because we're a camp in the desert, as you would well know. Some of you have visited there. It's a very unique camp setting. We're not able to do family camps very well because of the heat and everything that we have there. And this space right here, of the 20 weeks that are available to do camp, 11 already have something on the schedule now, and it's just been a whirlwind. That started in early July, and did our first camp in the first week of August, and then we just shut it down in the last October 14th. Before we went up there, let me see if we can get a picture of... not that one. I'm not sure if I... This is the shop areas, all the hand tools, everything sitting there. Just a really crazy, crazy deal. I'm not sure if I have a picture. Because we came around the corner and they have a snow cat. And we're like, we now own a snow cat. Camp in the desert with a snow cat. What do you use a snow cat for? And then we had 16 inches of snow back in October 14th. So now we understand what you do with a snow cat. So God has been really good to the ministry, but there's lots in front of us, and it's just been fun to see churches now have a whole nother opportunity of things to use. So we need much prayer, much wisdom. I do have a video if you want to watch it. It's on YouTube on our channel that talks about the $4 million story here of this meeting, because as we figured out this summer, God entrusted into our stewardship about $5 million worth of facility and things that have all come together. And it's been one of those moments where you say, wow, God is just absolutely, it's just beyond what we could imagine or think. So it brings us to this passage that when I asked Pastor how long I had, he said, till two. And I looked at him kind of funny. I said, till two. He said, no, I'm not hearing as well as I used to. So he's talking just as well, but I was pretty excited about noon, two, but we'll stick with less time than that. So I want to share a passage here in Jonah and help us to just kind of go through some things. These are things that God continues to teach me and remind me of the things that God does. So we have a word here in the passage that we see two or three times. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, we see the word for the first time in Jonah when it says, "Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." In the ESV, it says that the Lord appointed a fish. Appointed, prepared, he set it all up, he had it all set to go, you know, and God just did this. And so what we see in Jonah chapter 1 is that when Jonah was disobeying, God was prepared for that. God, it's not like Jonah made a choice and God was then informed of the choice that he made. God knew ahead of time what was going to happen. Everything was set up. Everything was ready to go for the choice that Jonah had made. As human beings, we don't know what the choice that someone else is going to make. We don't know how that happens. So when we see a person make a choice, that now means I get to respond to that. Do we realize that in a real sense, God never responds to things? Now, it looks like it to us that it's all being like, oh, I did this, and then God did this. But in order for this to all be set up, God has already worked and got all the details so that he's prepared. He's appointed that this is what's going to happen. It's all set up. It's set to go. So it's kind of one of those scary things that I realize, huh, no matter what choice I make, God is prepared. Which is kind of a cool thing if I'm making good choices. You know, like God knew that. It's not like he was surprised, like, oh, I didn't expect you to make a good choice. I gotta switch a few things around here. No. We have a God who is prepared when we choose right, when we choose wrong. Like he can use it all to his honor, to his glory, as part of his plan. That just kind of blows my mind to start with. But God is prepared when you disobey. I love the verse in verse 17 here in chapter 1, that when the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, when we get the context of where was Jonah at? I mean, what was the condition of him in that situation? Verse Verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why hast thou done this?" He just tells them he disobeyed God, the God who created the ocean. And for the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then he said unto them, "What shall you do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, "Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea shall be calm with you. For I know that for my sake the great tempest is upon you." And so they said, "No, we don't want to do that." But then they throw him overboard. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I mean, Jonah is tossed overboard off his ship, sinking to the bottom of the sea, and God is prepared. God is prepared when I choose all the wrong things. God is also prepared when I'm in trouble, in a life-threatening situation. I think it's interesting that when Jonah did obey, chapter 3, God had prepared the Ninevite heart. So God had worked in that situation, that he was actually part of what the plan was for them. Wow, we have such an amazing God. But what did God, and why did he prepare, and what did he appoint, and what did he set up for Jonah in Jonah chapter 4? In Jonah chapter 4, we see that Jonah's kind of frustrated with God, probably pretty mad at him, pretty ticked off. So in verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord," let me start verse 2. "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying?" And then he quotes something that we see in several books of the Bible, several places where God is described. When they describe him, we see this description come up, and it's easy to read right past it. "For I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, or abounding love, and relentest of the disaster. Or repentest thee of the evil." Okay, that's what he says about who God is. "For I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness." That's what he knows of God. And then he says, "Okay, take my life from me. I'm ready to die. I'm all set." And he went into a booth, and he wanted to see what was going to happen. And verse 6 says that the Lord prepared, or the Lord appointed, a gourd. So he puts this plant together. Jonah's very happy about that. Verse 7, "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind." So we see three verses here where God appointed something for Jonah. But let's kind of work through our minds. What is he trying to do? What's he trying to accomplish? Why did God do these three things that to Jonah were circumstances where he was happy about and angry about? Is he just growing a gourd because he's a gardener? Is he making an east wind because he's meteorologist and able to control the weather and all of this? You realize that God is appointing things to happen, preparing things to take place, getting things all set to go, in order to teach Jonah something. Now, if you're younger, you're like, "Oh man, if I'm going to class, that means there's somebody talking here, saying words, there's a book that I have to read, there's a paper that I have to write, and I'm, you know, that's what learning looks like to a student." But we have a God who is prepared, who is appointed, who has set everything up to teach all of us things. And as he teaches us these, these things. We are in a, it's not always a book. It's not always a clear, and now I'm about to teach you patience. Let's come up with a definition of patience. It doesn't go like that. God prepares things, appoints things, sets all these things up, runs us through circumstances, runs us through situations that help us grow, learn. It was interesting in Sunday school this morning as we were talking about faith and that faith is something that pleases God. Faith is something that God is growing in us. Isn't it an amazing thing that while we're here on earth, that God's words, His Bible, is what He has given us, that I can either trust that and grow my faith, live according to it, or I can step away from it. But God is constantly in the midst of growing our faith through His words, through the things that happen, through our interaction of, okay, God said this, and I'm living this. What does God say about this? But then when I act according to what He said, that grows this faith. You realize we have just this short time on earth where we get to live by faith. When we go to heaven, our faith is sight. It's done, which is a wonderful thing. I can't wait. You know, the battle to do right, the battle that is the nature that that we have and the thing that says, I wish God would just show me, like, let me just see it. No, this is our faith. And as God brings us through these different things that are happening in our life, I'm able to say to God, okay, this might not be easy, but I believe what you said. I've not seen it yet, but I believe just what you said, which shows our love to God, which is a really cool opportunity. Because for all of eternity, we'll look back on the things that we did here on earth and say, I did that just based on what you said. Instead of now, look at what you've, I can see, I'm with Him. I'm able to see Him right now. It's such a struggle to be like, I wish I could just see, but this gives us the opportunity to live by faith. So we see that God is prepared. He appoints all these things for when we disobey, for when we're in trouble, in order to save the Ninevites, in order to teach Jonah, and so we're kind of in this spot that we say, okay, because, like, why does all this happen? Why is God so prepared? Like why is He doing all of this stuff for us? And we go back to what Jonah said about God. I knew that you are a gracious God. Have you thought about what it means to have a gracious God? That just has compassion, cares for people. I mean, this is when we see the compassion. This is the cattle part of this, and He cares about the cattle. I don't know how many of you have ever had cattle in your yard, like you're growing them. They're not such a loving, like a dog comes up, you know, and kind of gives you a little lick, or he kind of comes and, you know, and hits your leg. A cow lick is a whole nother experience, you know, and they're stinky. And it's not like a cat, you know, cat's always cleaning up, you know, always making it, the cow could care less. And man, they potty big. He cares about cows. He cares about people. He cares about people that are not, can't even tell their right hand from their left. Like they're not doing great here. They're mean people. Bad people. Enemies of His children. And He is a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness or abounding love. why is God so prepared? Because this is who he is? In order to do what? We see when he's prepared, we see that he's prepared because this is his nature, this is his character, but in order to do what? To help me become more like him. Oh. This is my verse 2. For I knew that you are a gracious God, and you want me to be gracious. I knew you were merciful, and you want me to be merciful. Oh, man. And you're slow to anger, and you want me to be slow to anger. And of great kindness or abounding love, and you want me to do all that? No, that's what you do. No, that's what he was trying to teach Jonah to be, giving him an illustration with a plant and a worm and some wind to be more like him. As I was getting set for yesterday, Cindy and I were going to go visit some of her family. And I'm wearing this shirt. The day's going fine. In the morning, I made some calls, did some emails. I'm all set to go. Cindy gets back from her first appointment. We get ready to leave. We go down to McDonald's, and we eat lunch. The day is going wonderfully. Until we go leave McDonald's and we sit down in the car and we push the little button there and nothing happens. You know, when you have old cars and nothing happens, there's things you do like pop the hood, move a couple battery cables around. You know, you tap on it, you kick it, things like that. Today, cars, the little light doesn't come on and you're like, I don't know what to do. Open the door, shut it. Try again. Where's the reset button? I don't know. Nothing's happening. And we had, meanwhile, opened all the doors and reshut all the doors. And we walked around it. And I opened a couple of gas tanks. And, you know, it has the E-tank and the gas, real gas tank. And that didn't do anything. Still pushing the button. Nothing happens. And that was the beginning of our afternoon adventure of calling a rental car company to try to get Cindy and I something that worked. And of course, we couldn't ride with the tow truck driver. There were two of us, but it was Saturday, so there were no budget places that was open except at the airport, which is where we got the car to start with. They were going to take us on Uber. I've never been on Uber before. That was my first time. I'm constantly talking about when I get old, there's new things I need to learn how to do. So I'm in the back of my mind like, I gotta learn, because I'd already downloaded the app, but then I had to learn how to do it. And somewhere along the way, I am about 3 hours into this process, and I have learned my Uber driver, who's from a whole different country, and we've talked with him, and we get dropped off. And everything that happened, because we had to wait for the tow truck driver first, and then we had to get the Uber, but they couldn't get anybody with Lyft, so they wanted me to get the Uber driver. They didn't do it. They sent me a voucher that didn't work the first time. And so there's a $5 cancel fee on my card, and the guy said that the girl could reimburse me when I got to the rental car company, but it's on Saturday. It's a business. Card, so I can't show her the little thing that says that they charge me $5, and I want to be reimbursed my $5 cancellation fee. And she said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't." I said, "Yeah, but the other guy said that I could." "No, I can't. Thank you." I remember going through all of this and knowing that it's $5, and then I'm like, oh, friends. Well, I'm pretty frustrated that I didn't get my $5 back. And they gave me a 1-800 number and a place to call whenever my business office was open. I'd be like, this is not my problem! This was not the plan. I was not prepared to do this. And I know this, but... And Sydney and I were laughing about the fact that it's a bummer you wore that shirt today. Because this is what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be like God. I'm supposed to be like Christ. I'm supposed to act like he would act. And it's one thing to sit here and say, oh, God is good, and he's good all the time. And then a whole other to say, you know what? It's sometimes not the big things that knock us over. Sometimes it's the fact that I can't get my $5 reimbursement, and I'm a little frustrated. Now, it's built on top of 3 hours of all kinds of problems, and Cindy and I were bragging on ourselves and kind of like, we're pretty cool. We handled that okay. And then we were going to go on the freeway. We had to, but we didn't get our phone set up on the new car fast enough to get the map all set to go. And of course, you're doing a Yui. And then I'm a little frustrated at Cindy because she can't push all the buttons as fast. And we always make fun of each other, but you don't know what to do with that phone. And I just have to realize, no, God put this all in my life because he is teaching me. He is growing me. I've got to be patient. And so Jonah was taken through a little situation that says, Jonah, now that you kind of see this, shouldn't I take care of these people? I would challenge you to kind of recognize that God is preparing you to be gracious and abounding love and great kindness. He's preparing you to do all this for other people. So I think some of the things that we go through in our life, we're like, oh, now I understand what that feels like. Now I get what that's like. And now we have a capacity to be gracious, a capacity to love. As we go through each of the things that are in our life, as Cindy and I look back at the last 5 or 6 years, you know, when somebody has to get work done on their mouth and go to the dentist a bunch of times, Cindy has a great compassion for that person. And I can tell by some of the looks out here that some of you also must have gotten some dental work done. Because you go through it and you're like, okay, I kind of get it. And kind of as we go through our life and we get a little older, and we're like, nah, nobody told me about this. Where's the book on being 55 above? Because I don't, this is all new, but now I understand so much better people that are also going through it with me. So it wouldn't surprise me that there are things that God takes us through that are all part of the teaching process that help us to be like God. A person who is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness or abounding love, and relentest from the disaster. Now, this is an almighty God who has power over so many more things than we do. But Jonah was part of the plan that God had prepared for the Ninevites. He was the voice that God would have used. And so there's no doubt in my mind that you are part of the plan for other people around you, and that your goal is to be gracious, kind, with abounding love. Not just looking at a person as, just give me my $5! Not just looking at that person as the person, you know, because she told me, she said, I'm kind of new here. I don't know how this is working. And I'm just sitting there knowing this is on my shirt. Okay, just doing my dead level best to be gracious, kind, gentle, of abounding love. Whew, it's so cool that there's not a day you get to live that God is not prepared for. Isn't that great? And why is that? Because he loves you, cares about you. He's gracious and abounding in love. I'm going to wear this shirt again. But boy, when I put it on that morning, I'm going to pray and say, God, I hope it doesn't go like the last day. Because that'll be the last day I wear this shirt in the superstitious style I might be in. But I'm wondering what we would have that would be that reminder to us that we are an ambassador of God, that we are God's. We are what people see that tells them what God is like. And we have these words, and we live by faith, but it is so much easier to live by faith when I have a group of other people living by faith who are also doing the right things. Because I get to see your faith, which encourages me to have my faith to believe what God said. Book of Jonah is a really cool book, but a super challenging book for us to live. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Whew. Is there any little thing or circumstance that just kind of perturbs you? Out in the West, we would call that a burr under your saddle. A little dinky thing that has rubbed a spot raw. And it's kind of just a tender spot. Is there a person who's fairly hard to be gracious with, kind to, merciful to, abounding in love towards? For Jonah, I believe he would have been just fine with a group of Israelites. But boy, these Ninevites, there might have been a history. There's undoubtedly knowledge, but he might have had personal history of things. I don't know. But he did not like that group of people. But that didn't change God's view towards others. He understood their wickedness, but still had a care and a love for them. Is there a circumstance that you've just kind of been working through, and it's just, it's been easy to use that circumstance as an excuse to be short or to be a little spiteful or to not place any filter on your words or your attitudes? As the instruments play, I just want to give you a chance to just pray to God and just say, God, I need to be more like you.